I'm turning now in the Word of God to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, and reading verse 32. Mark chapter 7 and reading verse 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And my title for this morning's message is Our Spiritual Impediment. This miracle, like many other, or in fact all the miracles of Christ, every single miracle that Christ performed without exception, communicates our spiritual disability, our spiritual incapacity, our spiritual need, and here is no exception. We have a spiritual impediment. We have it's such a serious problem. This communicates how we can be forgiven and healed in our souls. Whether the Lord heals blind people, whether it's crippled people, people who are maimed, or many other deficiencies. And in this case, this man who was deaf and he was dumb, he couldn't speak. This miracle and this particular problem that this man has teaches us that we have a serious impediment concerning our souls. Our souls are inactive. Our souls are incapacitated. Well, this is a very precious passage of scripture, because it's only recorded here in the Gospel of Mark, this particular miracle. It's not recorded anywhere else in the other Gospels. Matthew speaks of the occasion, the same occasion, but he doesn't actually identify this particular man. So I'll just read particularly Matthew's Gospel very briefly in Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through to 31, where the same event is recorded, but this particular individual is not identified. It wasn't Matthew's purpose. It wasn't the Spirit's purpose when he wrote it. But I just bring this to your attention. How many people the Lord healed on that occasion? Probably hundreds, if not thousands. And Jesus departed from thence, this is the same occasion, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak. And among those dumb would have been this man, maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Out of all the cases, hundreds, perhaps thousands of cases, Mark, inspired by the Spirit, identifies this particular case on this occasion. So we pay very close attention to this, because God has something to tell us concerning this amazing miracle. The crowd on this occasion, this wasn't always the case, but the crowd on this occasion was very sympathetic. They said to the Lord, Lord, put your hand upon this man. Be pitiful, have mercy. They brought him to the Lord. That wasn't always the case. Of course, the Lord knew what he already was going to do. The narrative doesn't tell us here in this passage. It doesn't tell us that he was born with this particular problem. He may have been, but we're not given the details. But nevertheless, he was seriously limited. Of course he was. He couldn't speak. He couldn't articulate to anyone what he was thinking, his thoughts. He couldn't hear anything. He couldn't hear the ideas, the plans of other people. He was very limited. And it was far worse for people like that in those far-off days than it is now. In our day and age, people who are deaf and have these problems, they can be integrated into society. They are able to work and do things. We have modern ways to help people. People in this condition didn't have these helps in our modern age. Verse 32, and they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. This twofold problem, he couldn't hear anything, he couldn't speak, is an illustration and a picture of our problem spiritually. We have a twofold problem as well. We cannot speak to God, and neither can we hear him either. Now, when I speak about hearing and speaking, I'm speaking in spiritual terms. Those who are Christians, who know the Lord, we don't audibly hear the voice of God. We one day will, in glory. We don't audibly hear him, but we hear him by faith in his word. And it's real, friends. But because my soul has this serious impediment, I can't hear his voice, and neither can I communicate with him. There is no dialogue between, if this is the case with me, if I have not yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no communication between heaven and myself. I don't know God. I haven't a clue what he's like. I don't know his plans. I don't know anything about him. I can't hear him speaking through, and this is the wonderful privilege we have as those who know Christ. He speaks to us through his word, and it's very powerful. It's very tangible. His word is alive, we're told in Hebrews chapter 4. If I have the spiritual impediment, I can't hear him speaking. I may read the Bible from time to time if I feel like it, but I can't hear him speaking. He doesn't speak to me through his word. If I have this impediment, if my soul has this disability, and as a result of this, I make all kinds of assumptions about God. I make all kinds of assumptions of what he's like. I make up my mind about him. Nor can I pray to him either. I cannot pray, or not sincerely. There are times when people who don't know the Lord pray. Maybe when I've got my final exam, and I send up a prayer to God, Lord, if you're there, help me with this exam. I haven't studied properly. Or I may pray to him if I'm in a serious accident. I cry out to God. But in regards to, and I may mean it, but in regards to the desire to know God and to know his mercy and his love and his grace, I can't do that. Why? Because I have this spiritual impediment. I don't desire him. I don't want to know him. I don't want to love him. I might pray to him on occasion when it's convenient, but concerning the salvation that he offers, there's no interest. I cannot speak to him, neither can I hear him. Now, this person in his natural condition, he was unaware of so many things. Think about it. Today, for example, but especially in those days, a person who couldn't hear anything and a person who couldn't speak, think of the massive chunk of life missing from that life. He'd never heard any music in his life, the gift of music, couldn't hear any sounds. He couldn't, I've already mentioned this, but he couldn't communicate his thoughts and ideas with other people. He couldn't tell people how he was feeling. He was severely limited, this poor man. Well, the spiritual equivalent, that's the problem with us before God deals with us. The spiritual equivalent is actually far worse. The spiritual equivalent, my soul disabled, unable to communicate with God and unable to hear him, it's far worse than the physical condition of this man. And friends, it's no exaggeration. It's not just one piece of the puzzle that's missing from my life. If you think of life as a puzzle, vast sections of the puzzle are missing if I don't know God. I look at this puzzle and I can't make it out. That's how many pieces of the puzzle are missing without God. I don't know. As a result of this impediment, I don't really know the purpose of existence, why I'm here, why I have life. I don't know these things because of this impediment, because of this incapacity. And as a result of this, I'm vulnerable to the many harmful influences, my own desires. We learn in Scripture that my own desires are deceitful, and they lead me away, from the Lord. The many harmful influences in this world, and these things lead me away from God. And what's worse is, as time goes on, I become more confused about what the purpose and meaning of life is. There are already vast sections of the puzzle missing from the picture of life. And I don't understand. There's so many things I don't understand concerning the great issues of life. And increasingly, I will discover this and I will be frustrated. that is, I will discover the frustration of not knowing what it is to know Christ, what it is to really know what the meaning and purpose of life is. And people do find this frustrating. They can't identify the problem. It's like trying to, you sometimes see this with toddlers. I'm sure those of us who've been parents, and if we can remember that far back, you get one of these games where you have these shapes and you have a square shape and the little toddler or the baby is trying to fit it into a circle hole, and you can see that, and it's not, and he's banging on it. He can't, and this is what happens with people in life. Because of the spiritual impediment, they're trying to find meaning and purpose where it doesn't exist. And they're hitting their head against a brick wall, and they get more frustrated, and they go to desperate measures, and they go deeper and deeper into a life of sin. Why? Well, I don't know. I can't hear what God is saying to me. I don't hear him because of the spiritual impediment that I'm in big trouble. I can't hear these things. I can't understand these things. Without the spiritual faculty working, that is my soul. My soul is incapacitated. It doesn't work. Because it doesn't work, I now am governed by my own desires. I'm at the whims of my own feelings and desires. I don't have any spiritual help. I don't have any spiritual light and understanding. I will be increasingly enslaved to a life of aimless materialism. And this is what we see with many people in today's society. And we see the painful consequences of people living just for material things. It's the damage it does to you, friends, what it does to my character, the spiritual rot and the moral rot, just living for things that we can see, and it's so dangerous. I don't know about this because there's no communication between me and my maker. And when I go through the difficult times of life and I try to derive comfort from material things I have, and the pain and the anxiety and the pressure, depression that I have, and how these things won't go away. But if I knew the Lord, if I was walking with my Savior, I would know that forgiving love. I would know that help and joy from heaven, and God would sustain me through it. But I don't have it because my soul is incapacitated. If someone is in this condition, they will naturally be vigilant in other areas. Their senses, the senses that do work, will be extra vigilant, of course. If a person is deaf, they will be all the more vigilant with their eyes. They can't hear cars coming down the road. They can't hear dangerous sounds. So, of course, these other senses will be amplified. Of course, that's a natural result of one thing like this being incapacitated, having this handicapped. But what makes our spiritual condition particularly sad and tragic is I'm not even aware. I don't even know I have a serious problem. So my perception of danger is I just don't realize how dangerous my situation is. I don't take special care about the many dangers of life and the evil workings in my own heart. So the person who naturally can't hear is all the more vigilant in other areas, but spiritually that's not the case, because we don't recognize that we have this problem. There are so many unpredictable twists and turns in life. There are so many storms in life that I'm not prepared for. God is a God, when I'm saved by the blood of Christ and I become his child, the God of the Bible, the God of this salvation, is a God who constantly communicates to his people and enlightens us and informs us about life's journey and instructs us and guides us and comforts us. I have no such help. I know I have no such communication without this. I'm unprepared for the troubles that lay ahead, and I'm unprepared for the troubles that I'm going through now. I will make wrong decisions. These things will lead me further away from the Lord. You think of in those far off days when people traveled from city to city, or beyond Jerusalem, beyond Israel. Well, some routes were very dangerous. We learn about this in Luke chapter 10 with the Good Samaritan, and how this Jewish man was ruthlessly attacked by thieves. And that actually was no exaggeration. There were some routes in those far off days which were very dangerous. People, if they weren't careful, they could be attacked by violent thieves, or wild animals. But it's the same with the inactive soul. If my soul, if I still have this impediment and I haven't come to the Lord, I'm really at mercy, not only of my own deceitful desires, but there are dangerous forces out there. Friends, Satan is real. It's so obvious. It's so plain. And he does his work in plain sight, and yet people can't see it. I just give you a very brief illustration. Think of what happened at the Olympic Games in France on the weekend. How the ceremony, I didn't watch it, but I heard on the news some of the things that were going on, so blatantly satanic, such an attack against the Christian. Satan oversteps himself sometimes. He makes it so obvious he exists. And yet, here I am, without Christ, just thinking that I can manage my... No, you can't, friends. Satan is real. And he's out to deceive you. And people just don't realize the danger, the spiritual disability. It's so dangerous. And as a result of the spiritual disability, I don't even understand myself. I don't understand who I am as a person. This may sound strange, but many Christians say this when they come to the Lord. They say, I never really knew what I was like as a person before conversion. And this is the case. This happens. I can't even read my own heart. Let me give you an example. Sometimes, from time to time, my conscience may trouble me. I may feel very uncomfortable inside, but it's muffled. It's not clear. The voice is not crystal clear. I can't hear it clearly. It's a muffled voice that I hear in my conscience. It says to me, my conscience is saying to me, why are you going in this direction? What are you doing living for these things? You need cleansing. That's what my conscience is saying. That's what God is saying through my conscience. But because I have this impediment, because I'm spiritually incapacitated, all I hear is a very faint muffle. And I think my conscience is saying to me, I need to buy more things. That's why I'm feeling this way. I need to buy more things. I need more clothes. I need to do this. That's your conscience is not, that's what people think. I'm feeling this way because of this, because of these superficial reasons. No, friends, I'm feeling this way because of guilt. But I can't hear properly because of this. You see how dangerous it is? We don't even understand ourselves before conversion. I underestimate the warnings of conscience. I just ignore it. I brush it aside to my own peril. How do I hear the voice of God? How do I hear his voice? By faith. Not blind faith, not atheism, which believes in some cosmic burp that happened billions of years ago, blind faith, and the theory of evolution, which has no physical evidence whatsoever. I can go into detail, but I won't detain you. No, biblical faith. Faith is the ear of the soul, where I'm able to hear God's warnings. I'm able to hear his, and not just his warnings, the ear of faith. That the ear of the soul is faith. And when I put my trust in Christ, it opens up a huge dimension of life which was invisible to me, which I couldn't hear before. I now hear his warnings. I now hear his voice of love. I now hear his comforts, his promises. I hear so much that I never heard before. I now hear his voice of help. Friends, even though this disability is our own fault, that's what the Bible teaches. It's a disease, yes. But the reason I have this disease is because I'm a rebel. That's why I have this disease. It's my own fault. I've brought this upon myself. I can't blame God for it. It happened to our first parents, but we all do the same thing. But even though it's my own fault, God is a God who initiates a plan of salvation for us. He is ready to heal and forgive us. He is ready to heal us of this serious problem, this problem that makes life miserable for us. This problem that leads us away from him, this problem that will ultimately bring me into the judgment of God forever. But Christ is full of compassion, and we learn this by how he dealt with this man. Let's just read these verses 33 to 34. So this man, the people bring this man to him, verse 33, he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Jesus took him aside privately, away from all the hustle and bustle of the crowd. And coming to Christ is like that. He deals with me personally, individually. It's a matter of the soul. It's secret. No one else can see this. No one else can see this happening. I'm not going to heaven because I happen to be in a church, because my family happened to be Christians. No, God deals with me as an individual. It's a very personal thing. Just as Christ took that man away from the crowd, this is how he deals with us. It's a very personal thing. But what is meant by these gestures? The Lord puts his fingers into the man's ears. He touches his tongue. What is he doing? Well, remember, the man couldn't speak and he couldn't hear anything. I personally think that he was, sign language. I think the Lord was telling this man, I'm going to do something. I'm going to deal with this problem of yours. He touches his ears. I'm going to do something about this problem of yours. And he touches his tongue. I'm going to do something about this as well. Be of good courage. It could have been sign language. But what we learn from this is even though I'm far away from the Lord, even though I may be someone who knows nothing about the scriptures, knows nothing about God, I may have an upbringing, I may know a great deal, or I may not. But God is able to come down to my level of perception. He's so kind, he's so gracious. Even though I can't hear, he can start to work in my heart so that I can hear a faint muffle, and he can speak to me. How does he do this? Well, he troubles the conscience more and more. Through the circumstances of my life, he will begin to trouble me, and I will begin to think about more deeper things, move beyond the superficial, and start to think about profound things, things pertaining to eternity. He often does this with people. He's so gracious, he's so kind. We don't seek him, he graciously seeks us out. Not only did he take him away from the crowd, but you notice that he put his fingers in his ears. And in a way, again, this is what God does with us. When he calls us to himself, he takes us away from all the noise of this. When I start to think about the great issues of life, maybe I've tried to find satisfaction in the many things that this world offers, and I felt worse, I felt more empty. And now that I try to do these things again, I'm experimenting with certain things and I feel nothing. I don't feel the same way I used to. What's happening? Well, it could be that God is putting his fingers into your ear. I'm speaking metaphorically, of course, but it's God that's making you feel the way you feel. These things no longer satisfy me. What's happening? God is intervening. God is doing something. He's troubling the conscience. I start to hear noises. I feel these movements within my heart. He's activating the soul. That's what God is doing. If this is how you feel, dear friend, be encouraged. The Lord may be calling you. Is he calling you this morning? But if you continue to immerse yourself with all the noise of this world, ignoring conscience, friends, that's so dangerous. I'm not going to listen to this. When I leave the service, I'm going to forget about it entirely. Oh, friends, I beg you, don't do that. I'm just living for all the noise and all the things of this life. Be still, we're told in the scriptures. Be still, be quiet, and know that I am God. I'm speaking to you. I'm calling you. You'll never hear God's small voice. And it's deliberate. He whispers, but I must be willing to block out the noise. These things are a distraction. He's calling me. God desires to perform a miracle on you. Do you hear his voice this morning? Do you hear him calling? Not the preacher's voice, but what he says through his word, what he says here through the scriptures. Will you obey? Will you obey the call? He's calling to you this morning. Not me. Don't think about me. It's God that's calling you, friends. I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. Look what Jesus sighed here. He sighed in this narrative. And I'll read it from verse 32. And he bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took aside he took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, sighed, and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. There was a groaning and a sighing of Christ. He looked upon the condition of this poor man, the terrible consequences of sin, what we've brought upon ourselves as a human race. We're destroying ourselves. Was Christ's grief, was his sorrow for the man, was it just merely passive? He just felt sorry for him? No, friends, it wasn't passive. There is no greater love than this. It's not a passive love. It's the greatest sacrificial love imaginable. He came to rescue our souls from hell, and he was willing to pay the price for it. We cannot pay the price. We're too sinful. There needed to be a perfect sacrifice, a perfect substitute. God, Almighty God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, was willing to be cursed so that I don't have to be cursed forever. He was cursed on that cross. You think of how he was mocked and jeered. You think how he was spat upon, and the crown of thorns and all these horrible things. And then he was crucified. But it was far worse than that even. There was an invisible punishment which no human eye could see, as he was bearing in his soul and body the full weight of all the sins of those who would be forgiven. That's what happened at Calvary's cross. How do I receive this grace? How do I have my soul awakened so that I can hear the Lord's voice? How do I hear him and that I can speak to him? How does this happen? Friends, we learn a lesson here of the Lord sighing. This needs to be our reaction as well. When I hear a message like this, when I consider the gospel, I need to sigh within myself. Sigh that I'm far away from God. Sigh and long to be forgiven. Desperate more than anything else to receive this grace. If I don't feel this way, I won't go to Calvary. I won't repent of my sins. I can't expect to be saved, to receive his grace, if I don't sigh within myself. I hate my sins, Lord. I see what it's doing to me. I see how selfish I've been lifelong. My rotten unbelief, ignoring my God. Oh, Lord, deliver me from myself, from my sins. Save me, Lord. I believe that when that precious blood was shed, it was for me personally. That's how you must look at this. That's how you must look at Christ. Look at verse 35. And straightway, this amazing healing. And straightway, immediately, his ears were opened. Imagine hearing for the first time. His ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. He could speak and fluently, and he spake plain. He spake fluently. Imagine the joy illuminating in his face. A new world opened up to him. He could now speak with his family and friends, which he had never spoken to before. The joy of explaining how he felt and hearing what they had to say. He could articulate himself. He could hear what other people, he could delve into their minds. He heard things. He heard sounds that he'd never heard before, the birds chirping and other wonderful things. The discovery that he immediately felt, and delving deeper into the minds of his friends. We can scarcely imagine what he felt like, and conversion is the same. This is what happens at conversion. Oh, friends, before we're converted, we have all kinds of misconceptions about the Christian faith. Even people who may know about these things, they may know a great deal about the Bible and Christianity, and yet they have not yet made it personal. And they have all kinds of ideas about what it's like to be a Christian. They're all wrong, by the way. I don't know. Unless you're an insider, you don't know. It's as if you are deaf. Well, you are deaf. I am deaf without Christ, but it's if I'm physically deaf and I can't speak. I've never heard what music sounds like. I've never heard all these sounds. And it's like this concerning the kingdom of God. There are many things concerning the kingdom of God that I've never experienced. You have to experience them to understand them. God is calling you, friends. Why will you continue to ignore this? A life of discovery, a life of knowing the Lord, a life of him saving you from hell and destruction, and from being deceived and deluded by Satan and my own worst sins. Don't pass another day without this with this deadly impediment, the spiritual impediment. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will begin the discovery and adventure of knowing sins forgiven, having his love and his guiding hand throughout life, and this journey leads to eternal glory. Oh, may this be your testimony, dear friend. Amen.